Cities. TAN Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Welcome to Go Yard with Mama Mac, helping you to hit a home run in life when you feel like striking out.
All righty then, it is that time again. We are so glad to be right here with you, live in the studio, as always on Go Yard. I am Mama Mac. And we really need to get my son to change that intro. That's my son, Ryan. Mm-hmm. Because when we first cut it, you and I were just starting, and it really now we need to say Mama Mac and Dr. Angel, right?
Yeah.
After two and a half years, I got to get my son to do that. So anyway, that's his voice, which is kind of cool, my son Ryan. Anyway, Dr. Angel, I'm very excited about this show tonight. We've got some really good stuff to talk about, and it's going to be a little different, and I'll explain why in just a moment. But one of the things that we are trying to accomplish this year in 2017 is to get this show out to more people and get more listeners. And we don't make money on that. It's not like that. I mean, this is not, you know, people, by the way, can sponsor this show and help pay for it, but we don't get a salary or anything like that. Just want people to understand that. We just want people to get the information that we're giving out, don't we? Tell me why, Dr. Angel, PhD, licensed mental health counselor.
Well, you know what? This whole show's premise is helping our listeners to not only live life, but to live it well, to live that yes. go yard, which yes. means hitting the home run in life. And
right.
so we try to give you really great, practical, real life
yeah.
tools for you to use to get through life and to do it well.
Exactly. And so our goal is always to be a help. And that's what we do week after week, a life coaching show. So when we met a few months ago, and then we meet regularly, usually on Pi Day, free Pi Day at Village Inn on Wednesdays.
Yes,
by
we
the
do.
Way, Bobby.
Thank you for telling me.
Yes, if you're ever around 12 o'clock on Wednesdays, that's where we are usually on.
Oh, okay. Well,
Pi
just look at the table
Inn.
Next to you. I'll wait.
Okay, we'll,
we'll let you sit with us.
Yeah, we'll let you sit
oh,
with us, Bobby.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. So anyway, we've been meeting. We've been talking about how to get this show out there more. And so we just started looking up events and things coming up, and we've got some things coming up. But this Saturday is our first one.
Yes, we do. So we are going to be at Tampa Pride this
yes.
year. And so we'll have a table. Come on out and meet Mama Mac and me.
Yeah.
And we would love to sit down and get to meet you.
Absolutely. So we don't even know where our booth is. We just know that we've got one. And we have brand new banners. Not as big as the people right before us, though. That's a huge banner. But we've got beautiful banners. And, Bobby, we have 500 little baseball stress balls.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's got the Go Yard, you know, information on, isn't it?
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
We're going to get some here in the control room, right?
Yeah, we'll give you some.
Okay,
yeah, we'll give you some. Yeah, we need to bring them in. The box that arrived with 500 in was about as tall as Dr. Angel.
Bigger than the one the banner came in.
Yes, right. Very much so. So we're excited to give those away to people this weekend and friends and family. And we'll just keep ordering them.
Yep.
And we're just going to keep them on stock, at stock all the time. Okay, so we're doing that this Saturday. They tell us that it is in Ybor City, but on 8th Avenue, 9th Avenue, between streets 14th through 17th. That's all we know about it. And other than that, we're going to be there with our stress balls and our candy and our banners and our info. Come by and see us if you're at that festival. And then we'll keep you informed about all the different places we're going to be this year.
Absolutely.
We want to be out in person in the community doing things. And soon we're going to be having a book signing and things like that.
Oh, yes, we are. We have a lot of things happening this
we
year.
We have a lot going on, Bobby, we haven't talked about. Yes.
The red carpet event, too?
Yeah. Okay. Well, not really. It'd have to be a throw rug or something. Not really.
We work hard behind the scenes.
Yes, we do. So, Dr. Angel, this show is heard every Saturday at 12 noon and Sunday on StarcomRadioNetwork.com. So welcome any of those audience. But we are live in the studio tonight, as we usually are. So we invite you to call in. Bobby will answer the phone. You may want to weigh in on this topic tonight or ask Doctor a question, and you don't have to use your real name. You can use an alias, which is always fun. And 727-441-3000. I'll give that to you again. Bobby will answer the phone. He'll patch you through. You can ask your question, and Dr. Angel will answer. 727-441-3000. Yeah.
That's there you it. Go. I know. It's yeah. Thursday night and yeah, our brains
it's
get
Thursday
tired.
Night. Yeah, it is. Our website is goyard2014.org. It's an O-R-G, so we welcome you to go there. Why would they go to our website and visit? It's not big, it's very efficient.
It is not. It is very efficient, but what it does have is 2.5 years of our shows with titles.
Right, with titles.
So that you can go back and reference information and right. hear things while you're going through the issue and need some
exactly.
real practical tools.
And our webmaster puts our shows for each month on our website at the end of each month. In the middle of the month, like now, Bobby gets our show tonight, right now, puts it on a podcast here at the station. Within a few minutes or an hour or two after our show, it'll be there. So you just go to tantalknetwork.com, go to podcast, and go to Go Yard, and you'll find all the shows this month, actually more than that. So they're there. So, all right, Doctor, let's get to our topic.
All right.
We want to, this is a disclaimer, I think, because we don't know how the show's going to go, of course. We never know. But this one in particular, we are totally and completely winging it.
Yes, we are.
And there's a reason for that. I really have felt that there have been several situations that I've known about here recently where people need to hear what we're going to talk about tonight, even though you don't even know what we're going to talk about tonight, right?
Yes, I'm coming in blind.
Yes, this is pretty interesting. Yeah, Bobby, she doesn't know. And so basically, I'm going to serve as your interviewer, okay? Like as if we were on TV having an interview, because I want to talk about getting unstuck.
Okay.
Okay? We've done shows on being unstuck before. But tonight, I want to talk specifically, and I want to pick your professional brain here, about what do people do when they are so stuck in a relationship, marriage, work situation, whatever it is, where there is abuse, and they don't know what to do about it.
Okay.
Okay? So I know it's kind of a heavy topic, and I am blindsiding her. Isn't that fun, Bobby, that I'm just throwing it at her?
I was a little worried there for a second.
Yeah,
but
I know.
Now I'm not.
You're not, right?
I'm never been more confident in my life.
That's
thank you.
Because we know Dr. Angel really comes from a really great professional background. With your PhD, your licensed mental health certificate, I guess. Yeah. And all your years of, you have 2 bachelor's degrees, 2 master's degrees, plus wealth of clinical, plus right now you work in the field and you have 20 some counselors that work under you.
Yes.
So you come with the credentials. You're credentialed.
I do have that.
You do have that. By the way, you just have a new book that's just coming out here soon too.
Yes.
So there's a whole lot going on in your life. And so I'm going to interview you. So, Dr. Angel, we have a lot of people and that we all know that have gotten into situations, whether it be an abusive work situation, whether it seems to be more common that it's a relationship situation when it comes to abuse. But I have known a lot of people that have been in work situations that are abusive. So let's start with that. Let's talk about that first before we get to the intimate type relationships.
Okay.
Work situations where you find yourself working for somebody who does not treat you fairly, who perhaps is quote unquote abusive, demanding things you can't produce, or unrealistic about time frame for your work. I'm sorry. I've been doing so much with Spanish lately. I started to say tal vez, maybe. Anyway, or a situation where perhaps there's been sexual, what do you call that?
Harassment.
Harassment, sexual harassment, right? So all this where you feel like you're stuck in a situation and you don't know how to get out of it. Let's tackle the work thing first.
Okay.
Okay, please.
Well, the first thing, any relationship can
notice
have.
Notice people, no notes, nothing.
No, there's nothing. Just a purse came into the studio.
I'm going to zoom the camera in.
Yes, zoom that camera in so people see that Dr. Angel has no notes in front of her.
So any relationship that has
thank you, Bobby.
a power differential has the vulnerability to have abuse in it.
Okay.
That's one of the components.
Say that again.
A power differential.
Okay,
so
power
one
differential.
One person is higher, one person's lower. Now,
right.
We'll see that in romantic relationships where one person shouldn't be higher. We should be equal as partners.
Sure.
But you'll see that power differential, which is one of the things that we look for when I'm looking for a relationship that could have some type of abuse to it.
Okay.
Work relationships usually have a lot of power differentials. Bosses, employees, you know,
right,
different
sure.
levels.
Right, sure. That makes total sense, yeah.
So there's always an opportunity for an abuse of power.
Okay.
The first thing we need to do is be able to recognize that this is abuse and where what areas is happening with this abuse.
Okay.
That's one of the more challenging things for people. I'll hear them come in and they're like, unload, oh, my boss is this and this and this and this. And I'm like, oh my goodness, this is an abusive relationship. This hit, you know, the power and control wheel. This is, you know, using manipulation, and this is overstepping authority. And they can't see it, so they stay in it, accepting it as this is okay.
This
is
the
normal.
Way it's okay.
This
yeah.
is how all workplaces are, and mm-hmm. they're not, and they
right.
shouldn't be.
Right.
So when once we can recognize, yes, this is not okay, then we have to take steps.
Right.
You know, some people will just take it, and then walk away from a job. And, you
right.
know, not everybody has the luxury to do that.
Right.
And not everyone, we should have to do that.
Exactly.
So some of the steps we want to take is, first, finding a coworker that's a cohort that you can trust and bounce stuff with. You know,
good
I'm
point.
Feeling this way. You know, is this valid, some of this stuff? Having someone you can trust to help validate. Because sometimes we feel like, you know, they're putting all this extra pressure on me, and they're wanting all these timelines. And maybe they are realistic, and we're perceiving it as unrealistic.
So that's really a good point. Number one, look for somebody in your work situation that you can say, how do you see this?
For perspective.
Right? Perspective.
Yes, because
okay,
sometimes,
I like that.
You know, I'll hear, you know, employees, you know, gripe about, oh, I can't make this deadline. I can't do this. Well, you're not managing your time. It wasn't
right.
unrealistic, and they're feeling like they're being abused.
Okay. Now, this point can also apply to romantic relationships, because when we have other people in our lives looking in on our situation, we'll get back to that in a few minutes.
Absolutely. They see it differently
they
than what we
differently.
Experience
They see it differently. So
there.
I like that. That's a very good point where it comes to work. Okay.
And so that's one of the steps I would always want to take is, you know, bounce this. How, you know, is this valid? What do you see? You know, is there something I'm doing that contributes to this? Because
right.
maybe I'm being over flirtatious and it's making someone think I want their sexual advances, you know.
Or so, maybe they're dressing inappropriately or.
Right. So I need to look at, am I contributing
right.
some of this? Not that I want it, but maybe we don't realize some people are flirtatious by nature and they don't realize it.
Yeah.
I've seen that in our workplace, and other people may perceive that as,
sure.
oh, they might want to date me, and they start to make moves, and then they're feeling, oh, wait, this is uncomfortable. And so we want to look at, you know, our body language and our behavior, not that it's our blame. And even if we are doing something, doesn't mean we want somebody to do
okay.
that for, you know, to us.
Okay.
But we can make some changes, you know, to
sure.
help change that message we're sending that we're not sure we're sending. And then I would definitely, depending on the level of abuse, so if we're looking at something where, you know, hard sexual harassment, you know,
right,
things
sure.
where, you know, we're getting berated and, you know, cursed at and, you know, being treated, you know, really terribly, that's an HR issue.
Are you saying those are not okay?
That's not okay. It's never okay.
It's never okay.
And it would be a time to go to HR.
Okay.
And where HR.
Human resources
take,
for those yep, who
human
may not know that term.
Where you make a formal complaint.
Complaint.
And maybe HR will have a meeting with that person, and maybe y'all, you know, can come figure it out. Maybe there needs to be other steps.
All right. Then what I hear you saying, doctor, in the workplace is it's not okay just to sit and suffer and take it in silence and let yourself get into a place where you're not sleeping, you're not eating, you're not enjoying life because you're worried you don't want to go to work, you hate going to work, all of that. In other words, get unstuck.
Getting unstuck. And
do
human
something about
resources
it.
Is a great asset because that's
it
their
is.
Position is to help advocate for their employees and make it a safe productive workplace. And right. So they are not supposed to be, you know, the water cooler gossip. They have a confidentiality they're supposed to keep, and they're supposed to be documenting what steps they're taking to help resolve this issue. So they can act as that mediator.
Okay.
And you don't necessarily have to confront that person. Now, if the level of abuse isn't to that extreme, you may want to sit and have a conversation with that person and say, you know, I'm feeling this way, and, you know, confront that person, not in a way to put them in defensive, taking your I statements.
Right.
And have a discussion.
When this happens, I feel this way.
Absolutely. But it depends on your comfort level. Some people right. are not comfortable with confrontation.
But what I hear you saying in general, don't just sit there and take it. Take some good steps. Get some counsel from HR or somewhere, somebody in your work situation. Get some feedback, and don't just sit and take it if you're miserable.
Absolutely. And there are, you know, laws that protect employees that work for companies. And so when, you know, managers, they overstep those, but that's what HR, you know, the human resource position is, to put them back in line, or they have consequences that they have to, you know.
Okay.
Face.
That's a very good preamble
okay.
to the meat of what I want to ask you tonight. Because so often in marriage relationships, or let's say people that are living together in a intimate relationship, they don't have the advantage of having an HR representative that they can go to, right?
Absolutely, we don't in our personal relationship.
And there are no set rules. Nobody's going to come, unless you do something really violent or whatever, nobody's going to come and tell you can't behave a certain way, correct?
Correct.
That's not like the work situation. So the
totally
work
different.
Situation is totally different. Now, let's put that over in a box from what you just said. That was great advice. Thank you for that. And now we're going to move to the meat of the show. Okay, because it concerns me greatly that a lot of people in our nation, and probably in a lot of nations around the world, find themselves after a period of time, now not right initially in a relationship, that we normally call the honeymoon stage, right?
Correct.
And we don't necessarily mean it's a trip where you've gone to the, you know, the Bahamas.
It just means everything's going really good,
really
usually,
well.
You know. Rose-colored glasses are
And on. Don't most relationships have a honeymoon period?
They do. Some can last days, weeks, months, years.
Right. And some people can see the other side of their partner, spouse, whatever, the first week they're married.
Correct.
Which is alarming, to say the least.
Absolutely.
Right? Okay. Mm-hmm. But we know people like that have had horrendous things happen to them on their honeymoons.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
I mean, I've heard that many times in counseling. Okay. So here's what I want to ask you. How does a person that has been in a relationship, marriage, whatever, for an extended period of time, whether that's past the honeymoon stage and a whole lot more,
okay,
let's say 10 years, 15, 20, 30 years of marriage, okay, or relationship, and they feel like they are so stuck in that situation, there's no way out. I want you to talk about that tonight, doctor. I want you to give sound advice as if that person were sitting right here at the table with us, because they are listening, or they will listen on podcast. And I value your expertise and your wisdom, and you've counseled so many people in the very thing that we're talking about right now. Okay? First, I want you to identify what abuse really is. How does somebody say, oh, yeah, I guess I am in an abusive situation? Or somebody says, oh, well, I guess I really am not. I just think I am. I mean, you know what I'm saying? How do they figure out that they are?
Well, there's some really good internet resources. And because I came in the show blind, I do not have them with me. So
yes,
I can lead you to how to get them. But if you Google power and control wheel.
Power and control wheel.
Yes. There is a wheel that talks about power and control. And it goes through 8, I think, different areas of power and control. Because a lot of people feel like, if that person is not physically hitting me, this is not considered an abusive relationship.
But that's not true, is it?
Not true at all. I have seen where one spouse will keep the other one from finances, money, and they'll, you know, give them
financial
their allowance
abuse.
Or control
yes.
how much they have. There's the emotional abuse where they're belittling or berating them in front of their children and making them look, you know, there's isolation where they may be separating them from family and loved ones and not wanting them to have friends and being kind of paranoid, like, who are you talking to on the phone, and limiting their contact with other people.
Okay.
So there's a lot of different areas that this can happen, and that's exactly. All considered abuse.
It's all considered abuse. Okay, so let's first of all, let me ask you, a listener listening says, ooh, that might be me. How would they know that that's them if they had one of those things you just discussed?
Oh, any one of those areas that you'll see on that power and control wheel is telling you I am in a relationship that's unhealthy and it's in the abuse cycle.
Okay.
When we have some of those relationships that might be in the abuse cycle, we don't have physical violence happening, but we may have this emotional belittling and berating part of that happening. Doesn't necessarily mean the relationship has to be over when it's at that level, but the relationship needs help. It's unhealthy at that point.
Right.
And so if you see yourself in that cycle at any level, now there is abuse and this relationship is unhealthy and we need an intervention.
Okay. And when an intervention happens, now that you brought that up, whether it be we go to counseling to save the marriage or the relationship, etc., so often there are so many promises made at that when it has come to a crossroads, crisis point, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That happens. It's kind of part of
the wheel.
The wheel. And so another resource I'm going to put listeners to is the cycle of abuse. And there's a cycle. You'll see no matter who's getting abused, there's a cycle. So it starts with the honeymoon phase. And that's, you know, everything, you know, is great and happy. And then it starts to escalate wherever it is it's happening. Then the abuse will happen, whatever that is, if it's, you know, putting you down or keeping the money from you or beating you or whatever it is. And then it goes to this, like, honeymoon, you know, kind of like, oh, I'm sorry, the roses, the love letters start flowing in, you know, it puts the guard down. And it is a very predictive cycle. Every time we've identified abuse, we can pinpoint each part of that cycle. That cycle can happen in minutes, hours, days.
Cycle of abuse.
It's a cycle of abuse. You can Google it. It should be very easy to come up. It's pretty common. It's out there. So those are some good tools to help you say, these are tangible things to look at. I did not write them. This has been a part of, you know, psychology research for many, many years since we've really studied domestic violence.
Because really, this has been, it's interesting to me that these type of abusive individuals follow a pattern.
Absolutely, they do.
Isn't that bizarre?
It is a complete pattern, and it's very predictive. And we can
yes.
see one stage, okay, you're getting ready to enter this stage.
Right.
I don't know if it's going to be tonight in 10 minutes or, you know, when,
yeah, there's
but
no
it's coming.
Specific timetable on these cycles, correct?
Here's the thing. The more quickly a cycle happens, the more dangerous the relationship is.
Oh, boy. Say that again.
So the more quickly somebody will go through that cycle, the more dangerous that relationship is.
Okay, write that down. Thank you, Bobby. Write that down, listeners. Write that down. The quicker the abuser goes through the cycle of abuse, the more dangerous the relationship
absolutely
is and can be.
Higher levels of impulsivity. We're showing more emotional dysregulation. And so I have seen people cycle in one day 7 or 8 times.
Oh, my gosh.
Through the cycle.
I got to pick your brain more on this right now. Callers, if you want to call in and ask Dr. Angel a question about this abuse, do it. 727-441-3000. Feel free to use a different name if you would prefer. Be right back. Don't go anywhere. Call a friend and ask them to listen to Go Yard Tonight with you. So
Megan, an independent ambassador for Plexus, the pink drink. There is finally a healthy solution to help you lose weight. It's a most natural product that will burn fat, not muscle. People around the country are experiencing amazing results, and you can too. Check out my independent ambassador website for my contact info, testimonials, and product information at mkramer.myplexusproducts.com.
Prompt professional service is what you will receive when you allow Marcia McAllister of Charles Rittenberg Realty to help find that perfect home or list your home for sale. With over 23 years of experience in the Tampa Bay area, you will enjoy a smooth transaction from start to finish. Call Marcia today at 727-417-0707. Now is a great time to buy or sell a home. Call Marcia McAllister at 727-417-0707. That's all you ever hear.
All right. I love the music you guys pick out. It's really good. Welcome back to Go Yard. We do have a text that came in. It's relating to a work relationship. So I'm going to wait right now because we're in the, and get that, pick it up later.
Okay.
Because we're right in the middle of this. If you just joined us, well, this is a special edition of Go Yard tonight. We're doing something very different. Dr. Angel had no idea what was going to hit her here. And there are no notes or anything. She's talking from her heart and from her years of experience. You can call in with your questions on this subject of abuse, how to get unstuck from an abusive relationship. That's our title tonight, How to Get Unstuck. And our number here is 727-441-3000. Bobby will answer the phone, patch you through, 727-441-3000. Or if you're texting, which some people have right now, they know our number here. It comes to my phone, 727-888-4171. 727-888-4171. You can send your questions in 24/7, 365. It doesn't have to be during the show for the texting. 727-888-4171. All right, Dr. Angel, back to this situation. We were just talking about the abuse in a relationship, an intimate relationship, a partnership, a marriage usually. You know, that type of thing. That's what we're talking about. We talked about work relationships earlier in the show, but right now we're talking about personal relationships. And the cycle of abuse, you just said, the quicker an abuser cycles through the cycle, the more dangerous the situation is.
Yes. And so the problem I find with a lot of people that are in this relationship is they don't realize it, first of all.
Right.
So they're just accepting it as it's okay, or this how it is, or I love this person and they're just not perfect. And, you know, there's a lot of manipulation that happens when we're talking about abuse. So what happens is you get, the longer you're in it, the more weak you become.
Right.
And experiencing, because you become the object of blame. You become the fault. Well, I wouldn't get angry like this if you could cook the dinner
okay,
right.
Okay, that's the whole thing. I was just going to bring that up because so often the abuse is generated because the abuser finds fault with the abusee, right?
Yes, and they will deflect it back. So it becomes that abusee's fault.
Right.
And so years of feeling like everything is your fault breaks you down.
It breaks you down.
And you start believing it.
You believe it.
Your self-esteem, most people in this, their self-esteem is tanked.
Terrible. And because you begin to think, well, I must have done something to cause this for him or her to treat me like this. And it's not just men treating women this way. It's the other way around also, guys. And so don't think we're down on men. It's not like that at all. Because we've both seen it in our own lives that it goes the other way too. So But the abusee becomes so beaten down that they can't think correctly and wouldn't think the way you would think or I would think. And this is why they get stuck, don't you think?
Absolutely. They lose perspective and they don't have the confidence in themselves. That's that tank self-esteem. And they don't see with clear eyes and clear vision.
Right.
A lot of times when I'm working with individuals who are in this kind of cycle, I'll sit them aside. I'm like, I have a friend. And I start giving them a story, which is their story, back at them.
Oh, really?
And they can see it sometimes when it's somebody else. What advice would you have for my friend? Oh, they should leave, or they need to do something about it.
Okay.
But they can't see it for themselves. And when I'll say, this is your story, and my friend is you.
Right. And then what happens?
And they look at me like, oh my gosh, like they didn't make that connection.
Because it's almost like they have blinders on when they are the victim of the abuser, right?
True. They do get blinders on. They start believing it's all my fault.
Right.
So I just need to do this better, or I need to not do this to make this other person upset. So
they're always walking a tightrope. They're always walking on eggshells, right? Always walking on eggs and so afraid that they're going to say something to tip the balance of the evening the other direction, the wrong way, or they're going to just look a certain way and she or he is mad. Right?
Absolutely. It depends on the level of what you're going through, but a trigger could be anything under the sun. Something you do, something you don't do, that they're blaming, you know, putting the fault on you. And so it's easy to get worn down.
Right.
And one of the things that happens with these relationships, a lot of time, if there's good, the good is really, really good.
But that's in the cycle of abuse, right?
It's in the cycle of abuse.
Because there usually is that little, what we call the honeymoon phase, where they've had some terrible fight. Somebody may have even gotten hurt.
Right.
But the reconciliation, what we've heard a lot of people say, make-up sex is the mm-hmm. best sex, right? That type of thing, which is ridiculous. But just the same, we've heard that said. Because you just said candy, flowers, things like that.
Extra attention.
The abuser will usually go out of his or her way to make it all okay again.
Absolutely. So what happens with these is the good is very, very good. The bad is very, very bad. There's no in between.
Okay.
Or there's little in between. And so we see them as really extreme relationships. And so they hang on to those good very, very tightly.
Yeah.
That's what keeps them in this hope that things can get better.
Because
they can be very, very good.
And it's been my experience counseling and just knowing a lot of situations that the abuser in these situations is usually rather charming.
Oh, it can be very charming. Absolutely.
Do you want to define that or explain
that?
No,
it's part of the manipulation of drawing someone in. There is a charmingness to them. They're can be very outgoing and very
apologetic.
Yes.
Oh, I'm so sorry. It'll never happen again. I promise you the moon.
You know, you're the best person that's ever come in my life.
Oh,
you're
I can't live without you.
The only person I've ever been able to, you know, feel this connected to.
Oh, yes.
Like,
I can't live
They will idealize you, and that's
right.
Very attractive.
And put you on a little pedestal, and I can't live without you. So, no, don't be upset. I'm okay. I'm so sorry. It won't happen again.
This wouldn't happen if I didn't love you so much.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yes, I've heard people say that. Yes.
Absolutely. And so that's one of those dynamics that keeps it going.
And so the abusee, the one that's being abused, at that moment is so vulnerable to the hope that the marriage or the relationship can be saved and can be everything she or he wants it to be. It's going to be okay, honey. It's going to be fine. Just hang in there with me, baby.
Absolutely. And that's why a lot of times people stay in them.
And, okay. All right. So that's why they do, because of the hope. They want a marriage, not a divorce.
Right.
Correct?
They want this relationship. They love this person when it's really, really good. They love that feeling. Usually they're idealized, the person who's been abused. They're, you know, treated really special and loving and kind during the reconciliation period. And they really want that. And that's what they're wanting all the time. So that's the
hope. And usually the person is the mother or father of their children.
Which makes it more challenging.
I've heard this over and over and over again in life. And so therefore, I don't want to break up my home. I don't want to. You know, but the problem is if you're living in chaos and you're living in dysfunction, you're living in abuse, your home is already broken.
It's very broken. And the damage that's happening to your children is vast. It actually neurochemically changes their brain.
It does change their brain. I was just getting ready to ask you to address that. So that's great.
Look, I'm like one step with you today.
We are. So talk to me about the chemistry.
So when children are in homes of violence, this home is unstable. It's not predictable. It's not safe. And so what's happening is their brain, they're not settled in their own home.
Right.
And so what's happening is it's keeping that fire alarm system that we've talked about, you know, the limbic system, it's keeping it activated. And when that happens and it stays activated for long periods of time, it's changing the way their brain is. So it's making these children will struggle with focus, concentration, relationships, you know, learning. Like their normal development gets impeded because this is happening. And even if it's not physical bang you up,
right,
the cycles can still lead, they lead to very chaotic homes.
Chaotic.
Yes.
And chaos has an adrenaline rush to it, does it not?
Yes, it does.
Talk to me about that, because I've just know in so many situations that it seems to.
Absolutely.
I don't know that clinically. I'm just telling you from experience.
Well, it does. It releases a lot of hormones. So what we'll see some of our kids that come from abusive homes, and I'm not even going all the way to physical abuse. This can be without physical abuse. We're seeing these kids who've had this adrenaline going so long that they're into this high risk-taking behaviors because they need to feel adrenaline. And the more you feel it, the more it's the drugs. You know, the more you need to have more of it to feel it.
Okay, let me see if I hear you correctly. So a home that is very dysfunctional, like what we're talking about, abusive, maybe been going on most of this child's life. The kid hits 15, hits 16, vulnerable ages. And they've been used to the chaos and the high level of yelling, screaming, dysfunction, anger, maybe banging doors in, the abuser always causing a problem, hassles, da-da-da. They've grown up in that chaos, and their adrenaline level, is this what you're saying, is so high all the time from that. That's their biological,
yeah, their
chemical
hormones
reaction,
are, yep,
right?
They're being released, cortisol,
so
adrenaline,
they
all
get
this
to 15 and 16, and they, a lot of times, will try drugs or risky behavior.
Oh, absolutely. I see a lot of risk-taking, or they'll cut. A lot of kids will
cut each other. Cut their.
Or will start self-cutting as a means to feel.
Right.
And so they have to take more extreme. And a lot of times,
because they have shut down their mechanism to feel.
To feel, right, at the right
pain.
Level of stimulus. Yes.
Because they've conditioned themselves to suppress how bad this is affecting them. Is that correct? I don't want to put words in your mouth. You're the expert.
No, you're on target. And so are these kids are much more vulnerable to mental health issues.
Right.
We're talking depression, anxiety, other mood disorders can happen through some of this. Learning disorders, all kinds of stuff it can lead to for our kids mental health-wise. And then we can look at their relationships.
Oh, yeah. How are they going to have a normal marriage, a normal relationship, if this is all they've ever known?
So they learn one of two ways. They learn to either be the abuser or they learn to be the abusee.
Right.
And we start the cycle over with another generation.
And there's so much anger, resentment, bitterness, you know, that's been embedded in these kids because of what they've had to live in. And let's say mama has said, but I want to keep the family together. I just want to keep the family together. But yet the mom doesn't have any idea how much damage is happening to her own children.
No. And, you know, a lot of times parents will even be coming to me and they're like, oh, well, the kids don't see any of this. I'm like, they know.
Oh,
kids are so intuitive. They don't have to see it. They
even
don't have to
dogs,
hear it.
Pets know when there's, right? When
yes.
there's anger and yelling and screaming and chaos in the home, a pet will run from that person, right?
Absolutely. So when if you're trying, staying to keep the family together, you're not. The longer you're in it and the kids are in this cycle, the more it's impacting them and their future life, whatever that may be. And so that's a falsity. I see it as resistance. It's an excuse not to do something about your situation.
And the reason people don't do something about their situation, I've heard you say many times when we've discussed this on the air, is that they're getting something out of it to stay.
There's always some kind of payoff.
Okay.
There's a reason
the
we
payoff.
Stay.
I want you to discuss the payoff and maybe some of our listeners that are staying in really bad abusive situations need to hear this. Very important concept. Go ahead.
Well, this relationship is giving you something at some level. If it's that super connected feeling you have when it's really good, that could be your payoff. Maybe the payoff is this person is the financial breadwinner of the family and you feel like, oh, I wouldn't have a roof over my head or, you know, food in my belly without this person.
And maybe that person is saying, I will make sure you get no alimony, no child support.
Could be sending that message.
Yeah, they're sending that message.
So there's some payoff that keeps this person in this relationship. If it's, you know, that feeling of security with housing and food and, you know, financial, if it's that emotional connected feeling, or it could be a lot of other things, but there is some thing you're benefiting from.
And I've seen this work out in so many people in their lives. And I have seen people who actually got courageous and got unstuck and filed for divorce, for instance, and started the right steps towards. And 5 years, 3 years down the road, they're happy, they're content, they're living in peace, not chaos, and they wish they would have done it sooner.
Yeah, it's usually the biggest regret I hear when people are able to break this and heal. Because what happens, sometimes people can break this, but they don't go through the healing process. They don't go through the counseling process so that they can learn, how did I get into this? How do I...
Why was I so vulnerable to this abuser?
Because we all have vulnerabilities. That's why we're targets for it when we get stuck in it. And if we don't learn to heal through it and learn from that, we will find another one with the same cycle, just a different name slapped on that person. And I'll see them go from abuse to abuse to abuse to abuse.
It's like people who go from one alcoholic relationship to the next. Simply
same,
because they're used
thing.
To that
so
dynamic.
You have to heal. You have to learn.
You got to go to groups. You got to get help. You got to come out of
there
your...
There is no break. You cannot not have counseling to get through this successfully. With that being said, if you are in a domestic violence relationship, you should never be having marital counseling together with ongoing abuse. This is the worst thing we can
do. Okay, Bobby, get ready to hit the bell because she's going to say that again. And I think this is huge because that's the abuser uses this concept all the time. Let's go to marriage counseling together. We'll go together. And then when the abuser gets the person in there in that counseling, they beat up on that person in front of the counselor. Invariably, I've seen.
Oh, yeah.
Personally. So get ready to say that again. Do you remember what it was?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so if you have... ongoing active abuse,
right?
It is never, you should not be using marriage counseling when you go as a couple.
Don't go as a couple.
It's not going to benefit.
Thank you, Bobby.
It's going to be used as a new target for more abuse.
Right.
Because you the power differential.
Right. And you're sitting in a marriage counseling situation with that counselor and the two of you, and it's hard for the abusee to be honest and say how bad it really is and how it's affecting her or him and the children, et cetera, in front of the abuser because they know they will be abused when they leave and get in the car together.
There's consequences.
There's consequences.
Absolutely there are. And so this is where you need to have your individual counseling, and the other person needs to have his or her individual counseling. Now, after we've worked through our own counseling and the abuse is not ongoing or active, we may be able to bring this together in a joint session and do joint relationship counseling.
That's after the abuser sees the light and repents, right?
That's after they saw the light, have changed behavior patterns,
right.
Have
no longer acting like this.
Other ways and more healthy ways of coping with the relationship. Then we can go back and do counseling to heal some of that brokenness that happened.
But clinically, doctor, come on. If somebody's been living like this for 20 years in a marriage, and the abuser has you've gone through this pattern, let's say where you've separated, moved out two or three, four times, whatever, gone to counseling together, all this. Now you have teenagers who are acting out, being horrible, and the abuser continues to keep the abusee under the thumb, controlled.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
My question, how does the abusee wake up and realize that life is too short to live like that?
Well, and that's just it. That abusee has to come to the realization that this is wrong and I can't do this anymore.
It's wrong. It's absolutely wrong.
But here's the thing I'll see happen a lot. The light will hit them in a little bit and they'll, okay, I'm going to get strong. I'm going to walk, I'm going to leave this relationship. We're going to, live separately because it's ongoing and it's really bad. And then, a couple weeks or months go by, the flowers are and all.
Oh, yeah.
And now we're back together. And the problem is, it'll be really good for a bit, but it's going to be worse when we
it's
go back.
It's going to be worse, yeah.
It always gets worse when we leave and come back because it's another level of control that person has on us.
Right.
And they just saw it.
And because the abusee has proven that she or he cannot live without the abuser, and they've got to be back under that control because they're getting something from it because there's a payoff.
Correct. So what usually happens is all the people around the person getting abused.
Oh, they get so upset.
They're hurt. They're frustrated. They don't understand it.
They're worried.
They're worried. Yes. There's a lot of, it's really hard to watch someone going through this
they're
not taking their power to do things. And, I know we're getting close to finishing this. And I don't want to go off air without saying there is help.
Yes.
No matter where you live, there are domestic violence shelters.
Yes.
They offer housing, clothing, legal help. All over the nation, there's, hotlines, you can Google it. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, 211, which is a really good resource line, and they will plug you in with resources right by where you are. Because
wow.
there is, there are tools, but you have to be willing to use the tool.
And you got to be willing to follow through and make the decision. Here's what I want you to address now. The person who knows all that realizes they're in a very abusive situation, but can't get unstuck from that person and that relationship.
Absolutely.
What do you do? You're getting a lot of texts.
I am getting a lot of texts.
Are you getting anything you need to add to
this? No. It's a lot of good comments coming in from my sister. So thank you, Delena, for all the
stuff.
Yes,
I'm getting a few, too.
But once we have to be willing to recognize it first. First and foremost, we have to see it for what it is. We have to realize that we don't deserve this.
Right.
That we are worth more than what's happening.
Yes. So we have to work on our own self-value, right?
Absolutely. Once I realize this is wrong, and I am worth more than this. Right. And my children are worth more than this.
And I don't want this affecting them forever and going down to another generation of children.
That is when that person needs to make their step of getting that help. In some situations, it's we need to separate, we need a divorce, and other situations. It depends on the situation and the level of what we're going through. The more extreme, you know, your experience is, the more support you're going to need.
Right.
And so you need to be able to make that decision and then you don't look back.
Yes, that's, I'm glad you said it that way, because I was getting ready to say, it's an hour by hour, minute by minute. You don't take the phone calls and the texts from the abusers.
No.
You do not.
You can't do that because they will
put you on a
leash.
That will text you 400 times in a weekend, it's all totally and completely sick behavior.
And it's not okay. And
it's
so,
not okay.
But you have to be, what I see is they'll have that strength to make those first couple steps.
And then they get stuck.
Then they want, you know, they get strung back in it. They'll take the phone calls. They'll believe, you know.
Don't they have to block the calls?
You have to. You have to put really good boundaries down there.
You have to put good boundaries. Get an attorney. But you've got to stop the texting and the communication.
And so what they typically will do, if you have children, they'll use the children another string to pull it back in. And so you have to bring your support network. All those people that are around you that have been very frustrated with what you're going through, you're going to need to be, I need you, and I need you to help keep me strong. Because it does.
But then what happens when the abusee is told by one of those people in her or his circle, look, you're falling right back into the trap. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that.
It's very defensive. And it's very frustrating because a lot of people struggle to get out of this. And if they do, they repeat the cycle in some other way. If it's not another relationship, I deal with a lot of parents who one of their kids will take the abuser roles in the house and step into that. And they will take this passive victim role again. I'm like, wait, you're the parent in this situation. You have power, but they've been in the cycle. You need counseling. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You're going to need group. You're going to need, you know, individual counseling. You're going to need people to help empower you, strengthen you, educate
you. And you got to be, it's like with AA and NA, you know, you have to have a sponsor there. You got to have somebody that you're accountable to that will tell you the truth. No, you're slipping. Look what you just did. Don't do that. And then you got to follow along with that.
And you got to want to get out.
Right.
You can't do it because someone else is telling you to.
Right.
Because if it's just like quitting smoking. If we do something when we really don't want to, we're not really doing it. And we're doing it and we're making it worse.
Right.
So you have to want it to change. And you have to want it to change bad enough that you're willing to take
What about the person who has been dragging their heels all these years, gone back? Can you say something to give them a wake-up call right now? I want you to go back on this. How it is not just affecting them personally, but everyone in their family, especially their own children and their job and everything. Can you address that again?
Well, absolutely. It causes a lot of hurt because anybody who loves the person being abused is sad. They are worrying. They're concerned. They don't know what to do. They feel helpless. So everybody, if it's work people that are watching you go through this, your friends, your family, you know, they are all your actions and what your experiences are is causing pain.
Right.
Your children, it's causing the pain of what they're seeing. It's teaching them unhealthy relationships.
It
101.
Certainly is.
So your child
unhealthy
will,
relationships 101. Yeah.
Most of those kids will grow up to identifying as the abuser or the abusee, depending on the child and how they identify.
Yeah.
On top of having more vulnerabilities and mental health issues because of the experience of living in a chaotic environment, and so the damage is just going down and going down. It's a domino effect.
So the question, it begs the question, do you love your life and your situation? Is the payoff better than what's happening to your children? Do you love your children enough to make a change?
That's it. Do you love you and do you love your children? Because it's going to take a lot of strength and determination.
Yeah.
And it's totally doable. I've watched people who've gone through some very difficult, abusive relationship with kids, having the threat, you'll never see your kids again. This is going to happen. You're going to never make it, blah, blah, blah. Walk out, did not look back. Got the help they needed. And yeah, did they have it rough? Oh yeah, they had to rebuild a life and learn how to do things for themselves and learn how, you know, to do it differently. But you know what? They're happy today.
Exactly.
They have healthy relationships today. Their kids are doing better.
There's life
they could heal.
After abuse.
There is. And you don't need just counseling for you. You need counseling for
your children. Very much so. And so the person who says, I am so stuck, I'm not sure what to do, go back and listen to the show two or three or four times. Take notes, write it down, and just make a decision. I like the old Ben Franklin decision making. You know how Ben Franklin made decisions?
No, I don't.
He made it. He had a piece of paper, and he wrote down pros and cons. Okay? And he started writing them down. Pros, if I stay, here's what, you know, da-da-da. Cons, to me, staying. You know, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that helps make decisions. But also, I want to say, go on record as saying, the person that is the abusee, if they make the hard steps and move out and make the change and do what we're talking about doing, there will be so many people around to help them. They will not believe it.
All these people who are hurting will be in there to support you. But you got to use your support system and you have to trust perspective because you're blinded.
Yeah.
And you have to rely on people to tell you, oh, I see you slipping here. I see you shouldn't have, you know, you're taking text messages again. You're roping yourself back in. You're going to need to trust those people to help guide you out.
Right.
Because you're not going to be able to trust yourself until you start to heal. And that takes time.
Just like NA or AA.
Absolutely.
Oh, we have so much more to talk about this. And we're going to do a series on domestic violence again soon. But this was just on my heart this week, Doctor. And thank you for being so sweet and kind as to just go with the flow and not have any preparation. And I am amazed. But I think this is a wonderful show to refer people to.
Oh, I absolutely agree with you. And it's a prevalent problem. Domestic violence crosses socioeconomic lines, you know, the rich, the poor, races. It doesn't matter. Religion, in fact, it's sometimes found more in church-going people than it is in non-church-going people.
I've seen those numbers.
But it just defines all our lines.
Right.
And so it can be found everywhere. It's prevalent. It's easy to be blindsided by it. There is no shame if you're, you know, being abused. There's help. Google those resources, the power and control wheel, the cycles of abuse. Look at it for yourself. Do I fit in that? And if I do, I need to get help. And I need to get help now. No excuses.
Not 2 years from now, 3 years from now. It's not going to change. It'll only get worse. You have been listening to Go Yard. This is a life coaching show that we've been doing for 2.5 years. We're excited about every week these shows. Tell people about it and get some help, dear ones out there. Final word, doctor?
If you're in the Tampa Bay area, call 211 if you need help.
All right.
And get help now.
And who are you anyway? What?
I am Dr. Angel.
All right. And I am Mama Mac, and this has been Go Yard. God bless every one of you. Get some help out there, folks. If you need it, get it. See you next week.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City Tampa Bay WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.